word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Praise in the City. I am Tiffany Bacon, and today we're going to be talking on the subject, devaluing black life, uncovering stand your ground, racism, and murder. It's a heavy topic, but boy, we are going to get into it today, and I am definitely looking forward to your opinions and your thoughts on this subject. Here is the phone number, 215-263-1039. 215-263-1039. What are your thoughts on the stand your ground laws that seem to be getting people off easy for feeling threatened and then murdering someone, particularly black children? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. I have some distinguished guests coming in to help me with this discussion, and we will get to them in a matter of moments. Right now, let's start off with a moment of inspiration.
Oh, and smile, 'cause it's been a while. It's been like a whole day since I stopped so you could hold me. But this child awaits, strong in the faith. Lord, you are the refuge that I can't wait to get to, 'cause I can't let a day go. Can't let a day go by without thanking you for the joy that you bring to my life. And it's a beautiful day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When trouble seems to rain on my dreams, it's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. 'Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free, and you're still the refuge that I've just to get to. So I won't let a day go, won't let a day go by. So put the drop top down, turn it up, I'm ready to fly. And ooh, there's something about the way your sun shines on my face. It's a love so true, I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong, I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away, it's a beautiful. I sing about, there ain't no limitations to your amazing grace, your amazing grace. And there's something about the way your love shines on my face. Oh no, I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong, I'm about to get my worship on. I'm gonna sing a brand new song. Day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful day.
It is, in fact, that it is a beautiful day, and thankfully we are going to get a little bit of break from the winter polar vortex mess we've been experiencing all winter, however it is coming back. But that is not what the show is about today, and I welcome you again to Praise in the City. We are here talking about the Standra Ground Law, racism, and murder. So many stories have come across our news organizations, and of course this station as well, where we're hearing more and more about people, particularly people not of African descent, who feel threatened, take it upon themselves to quote-unquote defend themselves, kill someone, and then do not receive any justice or very little justice at all. And that is what we're going to be talking about this morning. I would love for you to be a part of the conversation, because the show is not the show without you, my wonderful listeners. So let me give you the number, 215-263-1039, 215-263-1039. How do you feel about this Stand Your Ground law and what has been happening around the country as a result? 215-263-1039. Here to help me with the discussion in studio, we have adjunct professor at Temple University, Mr. Michael Cord, and joining us via the telephone, we have the founder of Daddy University, Mr. Joel Austin. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me here. I certainly appreciate it.
Awesome. Joel.
Good morning, Tiffany. How are you? I'm always honored.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. First, let's come out of the gate with your initial response, especially to the most recent instances of Stand Your Ground and the justice not being served. First, it was the George Zimmerman trial, and we know how that inflamed the entire nation. But you would think it was a one and done. And no, ever since then, you've been hearing more and more cases around the country, not just Florida, but around the country. Your initial take on this, and I'll start with Michael.
Well, thank you very much. And let me start out by saying, when you talk about Stand Your Ground, I actually support the original Stand Your Ground, which is Africans standing in their ground in the homeland before the Europeans came.
Okay.
So if they had been able to stand there, we wouldn't even be going with dealing with all this. But let me just get to your point.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about Stand Your Ground, when you talk about racism, when you talk about murder, they're essentially synonymous because they deal with the same kind of thing when it comes to black people. And this is really nothing new. What about 1984 with Bernard Goetz?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people forgot about that. Mm-hmm. But let me just back up by explaining to people what Stand Your Ground is, and then we'll have some follow-up discussion. What is Stand Your Ground? Well, it's an offshoot of what we've had in America, in fact, on the planet from day one, which means self-defense. That's the general term, self-defense. The legal term is justification, which means I can punch someone if somebody first tries to punch me.
Mm-hmm.
I can stab somebody if somebody first tries to stab me.
Mm-hmm.
I can shoot somebody if somebody first tries to shoot me. And it's not just I'm justified by doing that if they attack me. I'm justified if I do it to protect other people. So we start out with this self-defense / justification.
Okay.
Out of that grew something called the Castle Doctrine. The concept was that a man's home is his castle.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone came into your castle, you could repel them.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with this Castle Doctrine was more than self-defense because it said you had no duty to retreat. So if there's a guy banging on my door at 3:00 in the morning, and I live in, say, a 10-room building, but the guy's way out there banging on my door, I have no duty to retreat. I could easily pick up the phone and call 911 and say, hey, there's a guy outside banging on the door, but I know that it's 15, 20 minutes before he can even get to me.
Mm-hmm.
But Castle Doctrine says I have no duty to retreat. So if he's banging on my door, I can leave the safety of my house, go toward the door, and shoot and kill him. That's the Castle Doctrine. That exists in 46 of the 50 states in America.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we deal with Stand Your Ground. So
okay.
you go from self-defense to Castle Doctrine to Stand Your Ground.
Mm-hmm.
Stand Your Ground exists basically in about 23 states in the United States,
mm-hmm.
technically in 16, but a few others have a type of Stand Your Ground. So basically, you're talking about 23 states. What Stand Your Ground is the Castle Doctrine on steroids.
Mm.
It basically says your castle is not just your house, it's the sidewalk, it's the street, it's down the road, it's across the city, it's anywhere you are, and it basically creates wannabe cops who have never been trained. It's a dangerous concept. And the final thing, Tiffany, I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
As outrageous as it is, could you imagine if young black men were shooting and killing middle-class white men in the same way? This whole notion of Stand Your Ground, Castle Doctrine will be repealed immediately. It's all about racism and murder of young black men. It's a license to kill.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Let's go to you, Joel. Your comments on this.
Well, first of all, Michael's absolutely right. One of my major comments is that this is going to lead to some type of rebellion. And my hopes is that specifically our culture, our people start to rebel. We vote, we write, we need to call, we need to act out. I mean, there's certain words and certain things that as soon as you drop them, there's a problem. We have to not only march, but we have to look at changing some of these laws. I mean, the laws that are in these states have been written by people that work for us, that work for us, that we pay on a daily basis. As a father of three teen boys, the thing that hurts me the most, and I'm not an attorney, is that the brother that Mr. Dunn is not going to jail for murdering or for killing that young boy, David. He is not, and I need people to understand that he is not going to jail for the murder of that young boy, which means that that murder, for a parent's point of view, there is no justification for my son's murder at this point. He is going to jail for some other things, but he is not going to jail for that murder, which makes it seem that my people, that race, that kind, that muscle-bound young males are a threat. And that threat is legally, you're now legally able to annihilate those types of threats just by the color, the thickness of their thighs, the deepness of their voice. They are now considered a threat, and you can, you are not, in a lot of states, you are not going to jail for that threat. And Michael's not right, because if Zimmerman was staying your ground, Davis was self-defense. Zimmerman, because it was forced, Davis was self-defense. He just felt as though, Mr. Dunn felt as though he was threatened, could have been threatened, and well, he was threatened, and he thought that he needed to defend himself from that threat.
And let me just interrupt you quickly for anyone who is just tuning in. The case you're talking about is Michael Dunn, a 47-year-old man who was charged with murdering 17-year-old Jordan Davis outside of a convenience store. He was in a car with his friends, and the music was too loud, according to Dunn, and then he opened fire on the car, killing Jordan Davis. So that was down in Jacksonville, Florida. So I just wanted to clear up the case that you're discussing for anyone who's just tuning in. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joel.
Oh, not a problem. So as a parent of young black boys, and for all my parents of young black boys, we're now threatened.
Yes.
We're now threatened as they walk out the door. We're now threatened as where they go. There was always a threat to us of something happening to our children, but the fact that they're, it can be done legally and without repercussions. I'm not sure how to explain that. I know that means that I'm almost my children are a bear or a tiger in the woods. I'm walking around. It's, next thing you know, we'll be on the front of cars.
Okay, let me bring the audience into the conversation. I want to know if you are a parent or if you are a young person. Do you feel threatened by what is happening with Stand Your Ground laws and laws like it around the country? Do you feel threatened? 215-263-1039. 215-263-1039. You're listening to Praise in the City on Praise 103.9 FM. And we are talking about unraveling Stand Your Ground, murder and racism in America. So bringing up the idea of parents and with what's been going on, what do you tell your children or young people that you encounter as a result of this?
Tiffany, that's a wonderful, wonderful question. What it comes down to is this. What do you say to your 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old son? You would normally say, don't join a gang. Mm-hmm. Don't be a thug. Don't attack people. You know, the standard stuff, and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
But now what do you tell them? Don't buy iced tea. Don't buy Skittles. Don't play rap music. It's just a frightening concept when white mothers and fathers have their birds and bees conversations with their children. They tell them about regular stuff. But when black parents talk to their children, they got to tell them about the birds and the bees and about trying to avoid confrontation. I'm not a parent, so I'm not really in a great position because I don't know what I would do, and maybe Joel can deal with this better. Do I tell my 16-year-old son to run away like a coward every time he encounters a middle-aged, middle-class white man?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that, but that's easier for Michael Cora to say. But if you're a parent, what do you say? Do you tell them to run like a coward or stand up like a man?
Right.
I want, as the angry black man I am, I'm saying to hell with that. We're in a situation now where we're not in slavery anymore. We're not in Jim Crow anymore. You have the right to assert yourself. I can say that as a non-parent. But if I'm a parent, I'm like, hey, Trayvon, hey, Jordan, be a coward and run away.
Okay. Joel, your thoughts?
I love Michael Kors. As a parent of three young black boys that wear hoodies, two are in college, one on the way, I have to tell my children to almost hold your breath. I have to explain to them that, and I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying I want to, but I have to tell them when you stop by the police and you're in your car, when you stop by the police, when you're on the street, that you... our culture, we have allowed ourselves to become a threat. We have allowed ourselves from the music that we chose, from the lyrics that we do, from some of the issues that we around ourselves, just our physical being, our athletic being, poses a threat to others. I have to explain that to them, that it's not right. It is what it is. And mm-hmm. I need them to pretty much, you need your children to hold their breath. If you're stopped by the police, you have to almost buck down like you're down in the South. Mm. And then when you get home, we will find you the best hub. We will scream and we will yell and we will point fingers and we will go to the police station together and fight this. But parents, I need you to ask your children to hold their breath, maybe cross the street, maybe calm yourself down, answer the question until you get home. My whole big thing is if you stop by the police or if you're in a situation like this, turn it down, hold your breath, let it go until you get home. And we can get license plates and we can complain and we can get people arrested later. But right now, I need you to get home first. Let me as an adult handle some of this. Don't try to go out there as a teen, and I know it's wrong.
Right.
And get loud and get wrong and so forth like that. It is what it is right now until we start changing laws, until we start, in these states saying that that's not what's going to happen anymore.
Okay, now, Joel, I'm gonna say that sounds awesome. That sounds great, and you are level-headed, and I know that. What do you say to the parents who are ready to rock, to take it from the 80s real quick, ready to rock, ready to step, and the child is ready to rock, ready to step, and anything that even halfway looks like you're going to threaten them, the popping off at the mouth, the quick thing to say, and the parent is the same. What can you do to rally around the parent on this and to not be as quick to jump into a situation which could easily end up like the case of Michael Dunn and Jordan Davis?
If we're talking about anger, we're talking about bitterness, we're talking about revenge and all that, we can do that. We can do that. Let me tell you something. I have enough money. I can get myself an incredible lawyer like Michael Kors, and we can go down there, and we want to justify, and we'll be able to party afterwards. We'll be able to sue this person. We'll be able to do all of those things. But right now, as my child, I need you to come home first. People are not coming home from stop and frisk. People are, do you understand? When I say not coming home, people are not coming home from driving to the gas to get some gas with their friends.
Right.
People are not coming home. And we can't do any of that justifying. We can't do any of that loudness. We can't get back at the system because you're not here. See, Brother Davis and Brother Trayvon are not able to speak for themselves on that stand.
Right.
And I need you to have this conversation, and we need to be able to say, we're going to get justice. We're going to settle this. We're going to have a fair one once you get home.
Okay, and I know Michael has something to say. I see the people who are on the phone. We are going to get right to your call. Just give us 1 second, Michael.
Just quickly, and again, I defer to Joel, not only because he's a bright man, but he's a parent, three, four times. So my point is, he's in a position to know as a parent, but then my question is this. You look at Nat Turner, for example, who stood up. I'm not encouraging that parents be like Nat Turner and tell their children to rise up, but what about people like Malcolm? Even make it a little more lukewarm. What about a Martin Luther King and a Rosa Parks? They, I'm sure, told their children to kind of stand up, not back off. And they understood the risk of dealing with those Southern cops. So, again, I'm going to defer to Joel because he knows and he's a parent. But at what point do we stand up? There's an old saying that a coward dies 1,000 deaths, a brave man but once. So I'm not saying that we sacrifice our children, but this is 2014. I'm not sure if we should run away all the time. But again, I guess it comes down to what a parent like Joel Alston would say. But I got to tell you, I'm tired of running.
All right. And with that said, we want to take your calls. So give us a call. We want to know how you feel about this subject. Also, the specific question is, do you feel threatened by the actions around the Stand Your Ground law around people who have been feeling, quote unquote, threatened and killing teens across the country? Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Let's go to Alana calling in from Philly. Alana, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good, good.
What's your
I'm concerned about this law because, I'm a school teacher.
Yes.
And, people say that, Our children are being led to failure, but now they're being led to the slaughter.
Mm.
You know, and no, it's not about running, but it's a way that we have to teach our children and also the adults how to stand.
Mm-hmm.
The Martin Luther Kings, the Rosa Parks, they stood and they stood silently. A lot of people looked at that as being a coward.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember watching the movie 42,
mm-hmm.
and the gentleman said, I need someone who has the courage not to fight back
mm-hmm.
when someone comes and calls them a name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm looking when it comes to Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. They called them all names, but they still got it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have to go as a whole, not just one at a time. Trayvon Martin was a travesty. And I believe that a lot of people sat back and watched that particular court case to see whether or not Stand Your Law Ground would pass, and they would be given that pass when they would go out and start to do the same as Zimmerman did, you know, and we're starting to see the ramifications of this.
All right.
You know, and it's going to continue to go on until we change that law.
Mm-hmm. All right. Alana, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for sharing your comments with us this morning.
You're welcome.
All right. You take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Let's go to Stan calling in from North Philadelphia. Stan, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody?
Well, breathing on schedule.
Morning,
thank you.
Yeah, I'm just listening to the brothers, and you guys got some great valid points, and I just agree with a lot of the things you said. I don't, however, believe in the Stand Your Ground law.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm a father of a 16-year-old boy, and also a mentor to several young men in our Philadelphia community.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I think, when we look in terms of what's going on throughout America, I don't know if Pennsylvania has those types of laws. I kind of doubt it. But with that situation, I think we need to really do. I mean, I guess the coward thing is something that people look at and say, well, you know, don't nobody want to be no punk, don't nobody want to be no coward.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we got to understand people are dying
mm-hmm.
at an alarming rate right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the key word for our society, especially in the Afro-American community, needs to be humility. We have to learn how to somehow humble ourselves when we're faced with confrontation so that we can live to see another minute or another day,
mm-hmm.
because right now life is being taken at an alarming rate, and there's no value for human life from various races.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've never even heard this rule come into effect until, you know, we have two, you know, white, a Caucasian person and Afro-American. So does this rule apply to some of these blacks who are dying senselessly around America at the hands of Afro-Americans? I would like to know that question. Does
there are a couple of cases that have popped up on the internet about African American male, I believe he's a serviceman, who enacted a stand your ground situation. He was defending himself or feeling threatened, and he was sentenced to 25 years in prison for that. Yes.
Right. Well, I think we have to get back to the family. We have to be able to convey to our families and our young people that you guys have to be able to tone it down. I mean, I live in North Philly, which is one of the most treacherous parts of the city, and every kid is barking and just coming back at people word for word. I mean, we've never seen stuff like that in the early 80s or
mm-hmm.
late 70s. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was born in 71, but you never seen confrontation as it is today. And so right now, we're actually living and walking around in society on pins and needles,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you don't know if a guy is going to look at you wrong and then pull out a gun and kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think humility, I think avoiding confrontation, like one brother says, sometimes you just have to cross the street. You know, or you have to just walk away, or you have to run because your life is at stake now.
All right. Good comments, Stan. Thank you so much for calling in, and I appreciate you listening to the program this morning.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day. Be blessed.
You do the same.
Tiffany, can I just quickly follow up to what Stan said, because he made some great points and indicated at the outset he wasn't sure if we had the same kind of thing in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Just so folks know, of the 23 states in America that have some type of Stand Your Ground laws, 16 of those states have the technical, official Stand Your Ground. The first one was Florida in 2005, and among those 16, Pennsylvania. So it's right here in Pennsylvania. The same thing that happened to Trayvon Martin and Jordan Davis in Florida could happen right here in Pennsylvania. And the final comment I want to make, Tiffany, is Marissa Alexander, a mm-hmm. black woman mm-hmm. who was defending herself in her home. You talk about the Castle Doctrine. That's the perfect example. Mm-hmm. What did she get in return? 20 years in prison. So the laws do not apply equally.
All right. So we're going to take a break here. If you are not yet on the phone, you have a few minutes to call in. We want to hear your comments. We're talking about uncovering Stand Your Ground, Racism and Murder in America. Give us a call, 215-263-1039. Praise in the City returns right after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station. In the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.
And welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I see so many of you have comments about our Unraveling Stand Your Ground, Racism and Murder in America. That is our topic today. We still welcome your phone call at 215-263-1039. Let's get to the people who've been holding for a while, and I thank you for your patience. Let's go to Bernard calling in from Alney. Bernard, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm counting it all joy. Listen, I'm a parent of mm-hmm. five sons. I have three adult teenagers. I have two babies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to teach my sons to stand for something so that you don't fall for anything. I tell them don't act off anger. My sons, they don't play with these guns. They don't do these things. But not only am I scared for my sons, but I'm scared for all these teenagers out here today. Because mm-hmm. I remember growing up in the 60s and the 70s, I seen this racism. I seen these things going off. I seen these black people being treated with unjustly. But today, how do I sound but like a fool to my kids to tell them stand for something so they don't fall for anything when they falling just for nothing? Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. You know, when my sons walk out this door, it's like I worry about them because I don't want them to get killed for nothing. Mm-hmm. It's a shame, like these people, these devils are out here murdering people for nothing and justifying it by a law that I've really never heard of, like the other man. I've never even heard this law until it started happening. I didn't know it was in Pennsylvania. So I want to know, what do I tell my sons and them now when they walk out that door?
Okay.
I mean, how can I tell them, listen, think positive, you know, don't think negative when these people out here just killing them for loud music or for standing up against what they believe is right?
All right, so I'm going to let Joel Austin jump in on that one. Joel?
Hey, Joel. Well, this is a time that we need to sit down. Like, we've never sat down and had a conversation before. You know, and speaking of Michael Kors,
I can't hear you, Joel. Excuse me. It's kind of low. I don't know where you are.
Yes, Joel, I don't know if you're on speakerphone, but if you could pick up the phone just so you could be heard more clearly.
Is this better, Tim?
A little bit. Bernard, can you hear him?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay.
This is a time where you need to have a conversation like we've never had a conversation before. We've usually never sat down at the kitchen table and said, this is what it is. I'm not saying it's right, but I am saying that we have some power. We have power like we didn't have in 1940, 1950. We have power of vote, especially if you tell me you got three young adults who are probably over the age of 18. We have power of vote. We have power of march. It's a little bit, it's time for us to stop being comfortable with it and start actually getting our children to be more activist, more advocacy, and saying, son, instead of doing X, Y, Z, you may have to walk down a different street. Mm-hmm. You may have to do a different thing, but you are allowed to vote. You are allowed to change, and you are part of what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. We can't just, it's not okay. It's not okay. Yes, this law exists, but can this law be changed? Yes, it can. And what are we going to do about it?
All right, good stuff. Bernard, thank you so much for calling in.
One more thing. You know what I do understand? I do understand this one thing right here, that when we take God out of this picture, this is what happens.
Mm.
So we need to get on our knees and pray. And that's what I do every day now. I try to change my life around, but it's hard having teenagers. Mm-hmm. Young adults and telling them, listen, man, shut up, don't say anything. Teenagers are different today than mm-hmm. when I was growing up. I was mm-hmm. an advocate to turn to the other cheek. I understood that. They don't understand that today when people are just killing them blatantly. Thank you for letting me share.
No problem, Bernard. Thank you so much for listening. All right, take care. All right, bye-bye. Let's go to Tiffany calling in from New Jersey. Tiffany, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiffany. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm 25 years old, so I'm a part of this young generation. Mm-hmm. And I'm just really, really concerned about all this that's going on. Mm-hmm. I have 5 sisters, 2 brothers, and I'm really fearful of them being, you know, stereotyped and killed, even though they're kind, compassionate people. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm afraid. I want to stand up, but I don't know how. Mm. You know, and I'm not sure that the character of my generation can have that courage to stand up. It's just really scary. I'm scared.
Okay. Michael, do you have a response?
Well, and she should be scared. She should be afraid. She should be frightened. She should be traumatized because she's in that generation. Fortunately, we haven't heard much about attacks on Black women, young Black women, mm-hmm. but it's coming. Believe me,
yeah,
it's coming.
And also, I'm also afraid of bringing children into this disgusting world that we live in now. It's just to bring a child into this world and knowing that it's not safe out there. I don't know. It's crazy. And we need to change this law. We need to change everything.
Now, she said, Tiffany said she wants to stand up, but she doesn't know how. Do you have any suggestions?
Absolutely. As I pointed out, there are 23 states that have some type of stand your ground. 16 have the technical official. That includes Florida first and now Pennsylvania. We have to petition our state legislators to repeal these stand your ground laws. After Michael Dunn literally got away with the murder of Jordan Davis, what did Florida do? They have a committee in their legislature that want to expand the stand your ground. Can you believe that?
Wow.
After he kills this kid, they want to expand it. And because Pennsylvania, the language of its state legislation regarding that is quite similar, we need to organize demonstrations. There's going to be a major demonstration in Tallahassee on March 10 to begin working on repealing stand your ground in Florida. We need to do the same thing right here in Pennsylvania, right here in Philadelphia. And my organization, ATTAC, A-T-A-C, Avenging the Ancestors Coalition, we're organizing that in Pennsylvania. Before the show ends, I can give a website, phone number, but we need to, in a word, repeal. Repeal stand your ground. Let's start in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Tiffany.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. No problem. Thank you for listening, and thank you for voicing your concerns.
You're welcome. I love the show.
All right. Awesome. Bye. Thank you for that. Bye-bye. Let's go to Pastor Tim Witherspoon calling in from Camden, New Jersey. Pastor, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. God bless you all. Thank you for hearing me this morning.
No problem. Thank you for your patience.
I just wanted to start off by saying I think that this is a good start. If you notice, a lot of people calling and saying they never heard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you just think back to all the people who've been senselessly killed because of ignorance, wrong place, wrong time, and,
mm-hmm.
and this is really good because we need to know more about the laws and how to apply ourselves according to the laws of the land. And
mm-hmm.
you know, just like when, you know, back in the day with Jim Crow and everything like that, Black people knew how to treat Jim Crow.
Mm.
But and until there was a rally point, there was nothing done about Jim Crow. And like the brothers are talking about this morning, you know, we need to get to that rally point.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get to that rally point, this is what you tell your kids. Be aware. Be on alert. Stand your ground, but be on guard at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not afraid to say that some of you men out there, you know, you need to know what it's like to have your own arms, your own weapons. If they have them, trust me, you need to get some too, because it's not a fair fight. And right now, until we get these laws changed, I'm not an advocate of guns or anything like that. But it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And that's where I stand today. We need to train our children to be able to be out here in this world and know what's going on by watching our surroundings and environments, where we're going into and how to act. That's exactly what they did back in the day.
All right,
now,
thank you.
Till we get that rally point,
mm-hmm.
you might have to get your own gun.
All right, Pastor Tim Witherspoon from Camden, New Jersey, thank you so much for your comments, and thank you for listening this morning.
Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you as well. Let's go to Marvin calling in from Philadelphia. Marvin, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you so much for your patience. What's your comment?
I just want to thank you for taking time to address this situation. And I just want to put a little twist in this. The thing is this, the word of God says that when my people humble themselves and pray, mm-hmm. we will heal the land. And I think the biggest issue that we face today because of a lack of knowledge, while I appreciate history, the thing is mystery history, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, all those good gentlemen, they did what they did for us. And we today don't stand up on education and teaching our children to mm-hmm. be children. You know, the kids today do not take the time to do fun activities. The parents today don't make sure that their children follow through good organizations. When I was young, I had to go to Sunday school. I had to go to church. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a question about, well, do I have to go? You will get up and go. The word mm-hmm. says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So mm-hmm. my thing is, when we put Jesus back into the picture mm-hmm. and stand on God's word, we're talking about stand your ground. We need to stand on the word of God. The word of God says, I won't leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. But if we train a child the way he's supposed to go or she's supposed to go, then the land will be better. What happened to respect, responsibility, leadership? Everything's about a video showing your rear end and wearing a fancy clothes and driving a fancy car. But we need to, it's nice to have certain things, but I think the churches are mainly at fault. And I go to church every Sunday.
Hold on, Marvin. I hate to cut you in the middle of what you're saying. We literally have a minute and 30 seconds left in the program. I just don't have enough time, unfortunately. I would like to revisit this topic and have our guests come back because there's so much more to talk about under the umbrella of the Stand Your Ground law and murder and racism in America. I'm going to have to cut you there because I got to close the show.
One thing.
Quick 10 seconds.
Stand on the word of God.
Amen.
Stand your ground, stand on the word of God.
Amen. I love that. Thank you so much. You do the same. Guys, before I let you go, I just wanted to give you some information. This is actually something I'll put a link on, or I'll have our producer Larry put a link on our website, praisephilly.com. There was a study recently done by researchers at Texas A&M University, and they say the rates of murder and non-negligent manslaughter increased by 8% in states with Stand Your Ground laws. You should read this article. It is very interesting. It talks about the bias in this, and it also talks about some of the criminal data that the FBI has uncovered on Stand Your Ground and the increase of violence. And with that, I'm going to have to say thank you, fellas, so much. How can people reach out to you, Michael Cord?
I want to give folks the website, and they can find it about the protest organized by the group Attack to Repeal Stand Your Ground here in Pennsylvania. www.avengingtheancestors.com. www.avengingtheancestors.com or call 215-552-8751. 215-552-8751. Tiffany, great show, great information. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Joel, how can people reach you at Daddy University? Oh, Joel, are you still there? I think I might have lost Joel already. All right, so either way, we'll make sure that both Joel's information and Michael's information is on our website, which is praisephilly.com. Much love going out to my offsite producer, Donovan Weston, my in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.